Chapter 56. The next day's practice was hard. After they changed into their uniforms, carried their cleats, and walked the mile up to Branch Brook Park. It was a huge park, more than 360 acres big, and it skirted the border of Newark. Ron felt the park was designed to keep Newark caged in. He walked up 2nd Avenue with the other players. The sophomores didn't talk to the freshmen that had been added to their team. They were embarrassed to have them there. The team stretched, and Ron smelled of freshly cut grass. Then he lay on his back and did leg lifts. He stared up at the sky and felt like his helmet was a cocoon. He felt relaxed and yet tense at the same time. Coach Connors said, "Okay, men, listen up. You all know we have some new players. They didn't ask to be here. We picked them because we thought they could help us. They are on the team, and I expect them to be treated like everybody else." Large red-headed kid named Alan muttered out of the side of the mouth, "Yeah, like shit." Connors heard the comment but didn't respond. Ron tried not to laugh. "Well, let's see what we've got." Connors explained the drill. He lined the team up facing each other about 10 yards apart. There were 26 of them, 13 on a side. "On my whistle, squad on my left runs like they have the ball. Squad on my right, you tackle them. The idea is to run straight ahead, guys." Ron was on the left. He could do this. He felt determined. In front of him was Alan, who was bigger than Ron. For a second, Ron felt fear. Then he tugged on his face mask and he thought, "Fuck it." He ran straight at Alan. The impact was not like anything he'd ever felt before. He felt that he'd run into a car, and then he left his feet and came down on his back with a thud that made his head spin. He closed his eyes and opened it again. It was still spinning. He heard Coach Connors whistle and his voice say, "Okay, pop up." Ron wasn't sure that he could move, but then he found himself on his feet, wondering how he'd got there. Now it was his turn to deliver a blow, and he couldn't wait to wipe the smirk right off Alan's face. The whistle blew. Alan ran with a galloping churn of his legs. Ron tried to aim himself at Alan's waist, but it was covered with his churning legs. He reacted by going low. He cracked into his knees and wrapped his arms around and hung on tight. He thought, "This is what it feels like to tackle a moose." Alan went down hard. Ron didn't feel dizzy this time. He was completely alive. Coach Connors walked over them. "That was two good hits, men." He looked right at Ron. "Do you know why you got creamed?" Ron shook his head. "You gave him too big a target. You let him get into you where you're soft. You need to run low. Pump your knees higher." Ron nodded. He wasn't sure he could change the way that he ran, but he would try. At the whistle, he ran hunched and pumped his knees high. It felt like it slowed him down. He felt Al grab at his ankles, and he pumped harder, and then he fell flat on his face. There was grass sticking out of his face mask when he got up. He didn't care. He wanted to smack into the moose again. As they walked back to the school, every part of him ached. He was smiling. Stripped off his jersey and shoulder pads, sat in front of his locker. Alan and two of the other sophomores came over to the four freshmen and said, "You take your showers when we're done." They waited together. One of the four had stripped naked and sat with a towel draped over his thighs. Ron felt the ache spread through him like an ease. It took the edges away. He could relax. He didn't mind waiting. By the time they'd finished showering, there were position assignments on the bulletin board. Ron was listed at linebacker and guard. He understood. he wouldn't get to run with the ball anymore. Having the ball in your hands or even touching it was so much more special in football than in any other sport. You held the ball. You squeezed it tight. You didn't let go like your life depended on it. Ron walked the 3 blocks to his house. He'd have to be able to steal the ball. Marjorie was waiting for him. She smiled when he came through the door. She didn't tell him how hard it had been for her to get home from work and that Harry Tuck had detoured to make sure that she got home okay. She was working downtown in a clothing store now. She saw a chance at some advancement. She could sell, but the manager wanted her to learn credit, and she saw him more than once leering at the fullness of her breasts and her behind. She didn't mind. She saw her son and the slight bruise on his chin and the way that he seemed to glow. "How was your day?" Ron grinned. "I don't know. I got knocked down a lot, but I got up, and I loved it." Marjorie said, "What about school?" "I didn't get into trouble," said Ron. "What do you mean?" "It's different there." "Why?" Part of Ron wanted to tell her that they made you afraid to do anything but what they wanted you to do. He fought the urge to tell her. "I'm one of the little kids again," said Ron. Marjorie smiled and stroked her fingers lightly over the bruise. She rarely touched him. She preferred to look at him. She felt him pull back, like his father. Took her hand away. "Do you want to go for a ride?" she said. "I'm supposed to read." "You can read later," she said. They drove north back to Broadway. She stopped the car in front of their old basement apartment in the 5-story building. Ron tried to look into the windows and see who lived there now. He wondered if those people were anything like he was. Marjorie turned the corner and headed the car up Montclair Avenue. They were parked in front of number 89. It was his Aunt Dottie's building. She gave them iced tea that was fresh brewed. She told Ron that she had been expecting them. The ache was almost gone. He missed it. He realized that he was hungry when he saw the pile of corned beef hash, launched into it with gusto. The women ate more slowly and smiled as they watched him devour the food. After dinner, they sat in the living room. Ron sat on the floor, tried not to touch anything. Dorothy sat in her fan-back chair. Marjorie sat on the couch with an enormous white goose-down cushion that would take an hour to refluff. The evening light hardly filtered in through the drapes, and they turned on the lamp that had a Chinese design. He gazed at the centerpiece, which was also Chinese, and depicted a lone fisherman waiting for a fish that he would never catch, but eternally hopeful. Dorothy said, "A man that works hard is an asset. It hurts when you can't talk to him." "I know," said Marjorie. "Sometimes when I talk to him, I wish that I hadn't." Ron was silent and listened. He stared at the fisherman and felt wisdom in his gaze. "Has he hit you?" "No, but he's punched things to avoid it." "That shows that he knows how to hold back," said Dorothy. "I don't love him." "So what? You think I love the old fart that I'm married to?" Aunt Dottie met Ron's eyes and let him know that he wasn't allowed to laugh. He'd wanted to, and she knew it. But he couldn't, and her look was communicating that in the sternest terms. Ron held it in, and it passed. Marjorie hadn't seen it. She was absorbed in the thoughts of a loveless marriage. "I have an idea," said Marjorie. Dorothy listened. "I want to put him in so much debt that he can't even think about gambling again." Dorothy was genuinely surprised. "How?" I want to buy a house and get out of Newark. Ron's heart was beating fast as he listened. He wanted to be on the island with that Chinese fisherman and the dwarf tree and the moss and the water. He might as well be there as out of Newark. Marjorie continued, "There's trouble coming here. This isn't going to be a good place to live anymore. I want to take you with me." At first, Dorothy bristled, then she smiled. "We're getting too old for keeping up with this." She spread her arms upward to indicate the 22 apartments over her head. He knew that something had happened, and that his life was changing in some unexpected way, but he didn't understand it. The light was soft, but the air was heavy. He breathed in the scent of her carpet. Ron looked up, and she was gazing back at him. How he loved her, and everything that she was. If they could all live together, he could be happy. Dorothy said, "That could be a long way off. A lot could happen between now and then." Marjorie nodded. "But that's my goal." Ron lifted his eyes to his mother. He could see determination and fear.